Rastak Sunday comes to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. The moderators are in studio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Yes,
yes,
good
ma'am.
Afternoon, ma'am.
Yeah, I want to find out something, please. It's not about what y'all talking, but I want to know if there's anywhere where elderly people can go and get medical attention. I live in St. Thomas, and I went to a polyclinic here in Warren. And I had a problem. The first time I went, they tell me, go and buy something and put on it. It is nothing for the doctor. I went back again another time. I had a foot that was bothering me in the area, but it's a whole thing, all of the leg. And they told me, the nurse told me, because somehow the nurse is playing doctor. The nurse told me, knee problem? Listen, go and buy some painkillers and go home and put your, take them and go home and put your foot up.
Well, then what I think you should do is perhaps try to attend another polyclinic and see if you can find someone there who would be a little more sympathetic to your cause. There are times when, for various reasons, medical people attached to the medical fraternity believe that people of a certain age are just complaining. I'm getting to that stage too, so...
I don't
know why the fellas in here are smiling, but
Dennis,
it
also
happens.
Dennis, this is not the first time I've heard this type of complaint, and I don't want us to dwell on it. But what happens is that sometimes the nurses who at these polyclinics, they recognize that the person is going to be there for a long time or may not be able to get attention. Mm-hmm. And what they try to do is they try to intervene and help
them,
by giving them some advice. Mm-hmm. But that brings into a whole set of issues that we that this program is not really geared towards right
I'm
now.
I'm about to tell you, you can't diagnose.
But this happens. Looking. But this happens on a more than regular basis than you may imagine, because I've heard it quite a few times.
Me too. Brass Tack Sunday. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon to your panel.
Good afternoon.
Let me just make some quick comments. I find it particularly offensive, to be totally honest, this situation with the CCJ and the comments made by the Prime Minister. Because what we have had so far has been a demonstration by an administration that they are about to do whatever they want to do in the whole of the last 5 years or what have you. And they are ignoring the rule of law. They're ignoring the rule of convention or procedure or whatever. And the argument has been used that whatever then they find and decide that is in the best interest of Barbados, they are then intent on doing in their viewpoint, whatever they see. Now, I'm disturbed by the statement that Glenn makes in terms of, well, certain things are par for the course. Because we have to be asking ourselves, par for the course in terms of the attacks which were being made on the
media.
Now, although I agree with him, that historically that is what happened. The question which we have to be dealing with is, what sort of society do we want to live in? Do we want to develop an advanced, developed society? Is it a proper democracy? The excuse that we've always been saying is that, oh, well, this is how things happen in Barbados, so that's fine. And we want to move beyond that there. So this is the challenge I have when we have those sort of things. Because then you have people, Bajans, believing all the time, well, that's all right. In short, politicians thief, so therefore it don't matter which one gets in. All those arguments that are used to maintain a status quo and because of familiarity of how things are happening in Barbados. And we now have to be moving towards a different level of development. So one of the things which I really and truly want to see happen is the constitutional conversation and the changes that are required to put structures in place in our constitution that not only don't allow certain things to happen before, but encourage other things to happen. For example, the debates. We should have it structured within the Constitution that there are debates which are required between prospective individuals looking towards leading
the Constitution.
I don't think that's a constitutional matter. I mean, seriously, we're going to put in the Constitution, let's debate each other? I don't know. Anyway, thanks for your contribution, sir. Brass Tack Sunday, good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Yes.
Yes,
to you, Corey, David, Dennis, Peter, to all of you, as well as the lady and the panel. Well, this is HL Cave, better known as Doc or Professor from Bang Hall and Bush Hall. I haven't called the program now probably about 2.5 years, probably going 2.5 to 3 years that I haven't called the program. But it was a regular caller for quite a long period of time, if I put it that way. I'm particularly concerned today, seeing that this also is the first time that I've called the program on a Sunday. I usually call it during the course of the week from Monday to Friday when I have the opportunity in the past. But I was felt obliged to call it today, to be quite honest with you, in light of the things that has been happening in relation to the elections and the campaigning and so on. Now, there are two specific things to which I am presently preoccupying my mind and so on with at this very given point in time, and that is definitely the manifesto and corruption, for that matter, both corruption and the manifesto. Are the two things that are currently preoccupying my mind and my attention.
Right. Sir, you see, when you reach to the corruption element, there's a lady called Suda walking around with a, I know it's the color of her bag, but she's putting out things out there all the time and handing it to the fellas in here. She liked the fellas in here in particular. So I would advise you, right, to walk very quietly and avoid Sue if you could find her. Brass Tack Sunday, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
My first time calling.
Good to have you with us, sir.
Welcome.
Tell us.
My problem is that this is the election season going on. You have people representing candidates. They're coming around. But when you have a representative of a candidate telling you, we ain't got anything to waste with you, let's go on to the next off. That hurts me.
But you don't find that makes sense?
Yes. No, you cannot, because you are representing a candidate. You're supposed to win me over.
Yeah, but if it takes too much time.
But that's the purpose of you. They're canvassing, isn't it?
I've been canvassed in this election. I've been canvassed by one side. They're not going to say which side. And when they came twice. And I told them both times, you know, like, does it make sense coming to canvass me? Because I've made my mind up already. I've made a decision. So whether you are coming to reinforce my decision or to change it. You know?
Hello.
And
hello.
I think, sir, no.
All due respect, sir.
Okay.
That is Peter Wickham.
No, but sir, I just want to make this point that I appreciate also that candidates have a challenge in that you have a little bit of time in which to reach sometimes 4,000 people. And I could appreciate if a candidate says, I'm going to pick and choose and work on the places that I think that my time and resources are used best, especially
who
new candidates and the third party candidates.
Am I the one to blame for you calling elections in such a short time?
I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that if you look at it from the perspective of the candidate, at least appreciate that for candidates, they have to use their time wisely. And they may figure that, you know, some hills are just too steep to climb, and then that's not going to bother. Just go to places where they figure that the time could be better used. Yeah.
I find it very cynical, but I understand you got to understand my point also.
I do, actually. So I was told I live in St. Thomas, and either way I vote, my vote wasted. So welcome to the Wasted Club. Brass Tack Sunday, good afternoon.
Well, I found that apparently something went wrong.
So, no, it wasn't that. I just told you to stay off the Sioux line, because when you start talking corruption the way you were going, I am a little bit stretched trying to make sure that my fingers stay nimble. I didn't want to get arthritis in my hands yet. Brass Tack Sunday, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Johnson,
yes,
I like the Nigerian song Woman played for the Democratic Party for Mr. Oinata and for the women of this country.
All right, so call Ken, call Larry, and let one of them handle it for you. I am not. Are you on airplane these days?
But Dennis won't even let me say hello to my favorite caller.
Oh, sorry, Africa. Sir. Brass Tack Sunday, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
This is Clyde Masco.
Mr. Maskell, how are you, sir?
How are you doing?
We are all right.
Yeah.
I speak on behalf of my friends.
Yeah, I call to talk policy.
To talk policy? You got much time.
Don't talk quickly.
That's okay. Ain't got much time. Apparently, the biggest problem confronting Barbados is the Foreign Reserve problem. And we've heard that all along. The current administration, having avoided the whole issue of privatization in the last election, is now proposing that they can sell all kinds of assets. Also that they can solve a foreign exchange problem in Barbados by building the Hyatt. I have seen this in my paper today and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we already have tried quite a number of hotels and villas and the like. And in my profession, there has always been a concern that even though we may be earning the foreign exchange, we don't see as much as we should.
But you know, in the circumstances, Dr. Maskell, if you're coming to talk policy, mm-hmm. the fairer thing for us to do is to ask you to account for the promises that the Barbados...
Well, of course, I come into that. You let me think, because what I'm saying to you
so
is
I can't,
that...
Basically... Because we are in the kind of election season that we are in, it wouldn't be fair for us to put you in a position to attack your opponents as distinct from putting you in a position to defend your position. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I still have to follow a middle ground position.
David,
here.
Have you seen the manifesto?
I have seen the manifesto of the Labour Party. I know that there are many.
And it speaks. It speaks.
There are many questions that have been raised, and the fundamental one that has been put on the table
right.
is
and
you make a lot of you make a lot of promises. Yeah. How are you going
to
deliver?
Right.
Yes.
No. But what I'm telling you, David, is I come to speak to that.
Fine. Fair enough.
And therefore, I'm telling you that part of that would also have to include how we're going to solve the foreign reserve problem.
Correct.
And we know that on the other side, there's confusion over the whole question of reprofiling the debt. All right?
Well, they have actually criticized you all in that regard.
Right. But what I'm saying that the chief spokesman for them spoke to this matter years ago. And now he's apparently reversing and going contrary to the Minister of Finance. We have not reneged on this position. This is a position that we are holding. In fact, it's a major part of the LP's whole strategy for earning or having access to Elbow Room. So I don't know how we now can say. So that is not an issue as to how we are going to get
Is there any merit to this argument that debt reprofiling is tantamount to default?
But we heard that before.
Do you believe? Accept
debt reprofiling?
It?
Is tantamount to what?
A default.
A default. That's the
argument.
That's what was said.
No, man. That's classic again. That's classic. Now that there's an election, you come to put all kind of mud in the water. So you don't want to admit that is your strategy.
But explain it.
So you're now trying to put fear.
No,
these are technical issues. Listen, David, these are technical issues.
Agreed.
That I don't intend to come here to try to confuse the public on, like on the NAS.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I don't have to go into that detail. I came here to speak to a matter that is the most crucial, how to raise foreign exchange. And I don't think that I should be sidetracked on it.
Okay.
And I accept. You understand? Because
let me hear. Because I told you we only got limited time, so tell me.
Right. So I'm saying to you that you have access to how we propose to rebuild our foreign reserves. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And a proposal has been put that Barbados, the hotel sector, could be encouraged to pay a portion of their taxes in reserves or in foreign exchange. Now, and listen to me very carefully. Would you prefer to sell the Hilton Hotel or to ask the entire hotel sector to make a contribution to our foreign reserve position, not only today or next month, but forevermore? And I'm saying to you that if we can, and it's not difficult to do, ask the hoteliers therefore to make that contribution, then the $80 million or so that you're trying to sell the Hilton for, can be raised by giving responsibility to each and every hotelier in Barbados. And the details of that will be explained and easy to explain. But I never heard of a manifesto being a budget speech. You outline how you plan to raise matters, how you plan to raise revenue. But you don't have to go into the details and explain what the rate will be and how big the base is and all these other things that people seem to be requiring. The thing here is this. We have identified a sustainable way. And why do we need to do it? The central bank, in order to get foreign exchange, has to rely on the commercial banks to sell foreign exchange to the central bank.
But you would the accept, Barbara Slade Party, you would accept, Dr. Maskell, that if, in the, if you're not in a position to give details, then you're going to end up just where you began, which is...
I am in a position to give details.
But, you're not, but you don't have enough time?
Yeah, well, you mean no.
Yes.
But don't tell me that the Barbara Slade Party does not know how it plans to raise foreign exchange.
Yeah, but you couldn't...
But it doesn't know how it plans
to finance. Use, you couldn't spend this time to do it.
Let me also say this. Last week, there's an alternative measure being put on the table in terms of tax on fuel. And I heard all kind of discussion. I even reached the point where somebody said, but what about people who use reed whackers? No, I use a reed whacker every week. Right?
Yourself?
Now, the amount of gasoline that goes into a reed whacker, first of all, plus the two-part oil that you have to put in, is minor. But answer me this, David. Would any government allow a fellow using a reed whacker to register to buy gas at a gas station? That is cheaper.
You guys need that a forum. You need a forum to be able to explain these things other than brass tacks. Now, that's the truth. And, I mean, we don't even have People's Parliament right now. But you got limited time. You guys, perhaps, there are other ways of getting around that. So we really couldn't get any deeper into that today. And in any case, we are somewhat hamstrung by the rules of engagement in you know, pursuing this in any detail in this forum. That's it for today's edition. Who's going to take the lead of closing us off?
Well, I want to close off. Last week I said in relation to Clyde, I kind of gave the impression he wasn't a good constituency rep. As someone who worked with Mark, Clyde as a B and a D, and Chris in St. Michael Northwest, that's the first thing from truth. I would have worked with all of them and tried to get some constituency projects done with all of them. So I just want to clear up that. But on behalf of Williams Industries and, of course, all the moderators, I want to say thank you for listening and do enjoy the remainder of your Sunday. And go 24th and make sure your voice is registered. Every single living elector, I want you to go and vote. Thank you very much. Enjoy your day.